And Ephesians 4 this morning about growing. And I know this passage will be a blessing to you. Starting in verse 13, the Bible says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So I'm going to entitle our message today, "Grow Up." Paul used those words there in verse 15, that we may grow up. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word and the privilege to open it together this morning. And we ask now that you would use it in our hearts. Lord, we do want to be more like Jesus. And may we recognize, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the word this morning, any areas where we need to grow up. Lord, that we might be effective for you. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in our service not born again, they'll realize they must be born again if they ever hope to see heaven. Lord, those of us that are Christians, may we be honest about where we stand in our spiritual maturity and allow you to work in our lives. Meet needs. We pray you'll be glorified in this service and pray it in Christ's name. Amen. So as we see here, Paul's desire for the Christians at Ephesus and for all Christians is that we grow in our spiritual maturity. We know the Bible teaches that we're all babes in Christ and we're first born. But God's desire is that we don't stay babies, but that we mature, that we grow up into an adult Christian, if you will. And this isn't talking about our physical age, it's talking about our spiritual maturity. And Paul gives us some of the areas in which God wants us to mature in our walk with Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's amazing to me in this new age that we live, how many Christians there are that are still immature. You talk to them about the Word of God, and a lot of times they don't even know what you're talking about. And they've been saved a long time. And so, because one of the reasons they go to church is they don't get the Word. They get a lot of hype and experience and ideas and so forth, but they don't get the word. But it just amazes me how immature Christians can be, and it's not God's will. It's God's will that if you're born again, that you grow, and that you keep growing and keep growing and keep maturing in your faith. And God has revealed to us some of the areas. Verse 13, the first one we see here is unity. Anybody ever heard of a church split? We all have. This should be impossible. You know why? Because part of the earmarks of being a mature Christian is unity in the body. He says that we all come in the unity of the faith. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the church at Corinth was a church characterized by disunity. They didn't get along. They argued. They fought over different doctrines and different people. And Paul here is rebuking them here in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 10. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Unity. Unity about what we believe. Unity about our direction as a church for Jesus Christ. And it amazes me how many times people will come and they'll attend faithfully and they'll say, you know, we'd like to become part of this church. And I'll say, well, that's great. We'd love to have you. But first you need to read our constitution and make sure you agree with us. And sometimes people are quite amazed that they're like, you mean I have to agree? Well, yeah, because we want to be in unity about what we do believe. And then often they'll read our doctrinal statement and say, well, I don't agree with that. I say, well, I'm sorry. That's our doctrinal statement. So if you want to be a part of our church, you need to agree with that. And if you don't agree with it, maybe you need to go to a different church. That's life. I mean, we can sit and we can talk about it and we can go through the word together. But we've got to be unified. And that's spiritual maturity, is this unity that God wants us to have as a as a church body. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, he says, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded." He says, being of one accord, being of one mind. That doesn't mean that we never have friction or disagreement because we're humans and we're sinners. But it means that we have a unity of belief and a unity of purpose. And a spiritual Christian is good with that. The second thing he mentions in verse 13 of our passage, he says knowledge. The knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Another word for this word would be the word doctrine. Now, in this day and age, that's a word that people consider to be boring. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We are in that time. Where people would much rather go to a rock concert and hear a bunch of ideas rather than have to learn doctrine. Well, doctrine is just another word for truth. And God wants us to have a good working knowledge of His truth, His Word. And by the way, that takes work. Going to church on Sunday morning does not qualify as learning God's Word as He would want you to. The Bible commands us in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study, to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. God's desire is that we grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friend, there's only one place where you're going to find that knowledge, and it's in this book. There's no other place to go to find knowledge about Jesus. He is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. Go, if you would, to Hebrews 5, verse 13, where the Bible talks about this maturity that God wants us to have in His Word, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, unto a perfect man. Notice Hebrews chapter 5, if you would, over in verse 13. The Bible says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The next verse says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. So notice he's contrasting there a babe versus someone who is of full age. And he says, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Discernment comes along with maturity. The ability to say, you know, that doesn't sound right. That just doesn't sound right to me. That's the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to help you with your discernment. And this is what God wants for all of us, is that we mature in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible talks in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. This book is profitable to your Christian life. Amen? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This book can do so much for us. But not if we don't open it. Not if we don't study it. Not if we don't read it. Not if we don't meditate in it like we're commanded to. Not if we don't memorize it like we're commanded to. God wants us to mature in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter finished his second epistle, he says, I want you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep growing. And so if we're going to grow up as Christians, number one, God wants unity. And number two, God wants us to grow in our knowledge and our doctrine and our understanding of His Word. And he says in verse 13 of our passage, Ephesians 4, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you see that God's ultimate goal is that we all be like Jesus? Now, I don't know about you, but I've got a long way to go to be there. It's going to take more maturity. It's going to take God continuing to work in our lives to get us there, that we might be like Christ. That's God's ultimate goal. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where the Bible talks about this. Romans 8, 29. The Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8, 29. Conformed to the image of his Son. This is what God is wanting to do in your life, my friend, is to conform you to the image of Jesus. that you might be more mature, that you might be more like Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 2:6, "He that saith he abideth in him, also to himself to walk as he walked." That we walk like Jesus. That's what God is trying to do in your life and in mine. To mature us in our unity, to mature us in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 14 of our passage, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. One of the characteristics of an immature Christian is they're tossed to and fro. Some new teaching comes along. Oh, yeah, look at this new teaching. Oh, look at this new thing. You guess what? There's no new things. Solomon said that himself. He said, there's nothing new under the sun. If somebody's come along and they've got this brand new idea, this brand new teaching out of God's word, it's going to be wrong. This New Testament is 2,000 years old. They didn't find something new. But if people aren't grounded in the word, they're not going to know that. And God said, we're going to get tested in this area. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. And again, when Paul was rebuking the Corinthians in chapter 3, well, that's I'm going to have to quit wearing this watch to church. That keeps trying to preach for me. When he's rebuking the Christians at Corinth, he says, "And I, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babes." One of the rebukes he had for the church at Corinth was that they were not growing up. They were still babies. So God wants us to grow up in our faith, in our unity, in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. But also go back to verse 15 of our passage. This is a big one. This one will get all of us. Brother John, do you mind turning those on? Or is it just me, or is it a little bit warm in here? Anybody cold? Anybody a little bit warm? Aha. Thank you, John. Verse 15, speaking the truth. I'm sure nobody in this room has ever had a problem saying the wrong thing. But according to James, we all have that problem, don't we? Go to James chapter 3 and I'll show you. This chapter, if you ever have a problem with your tongue, just keep reading James chapter 3. Because James doesn't hold any punches when it comes to the tongue. And we won't read the whole passage, but notice verse 2 of James 3. If in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. James says, if you can control your tongue, you're in control, basically. He goes on to say later on in the chapter that the tongue is set on the fire of hell. That's some pretty strong words. And as Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he says, one of the areas I want you to mature in your faith is in your speech. Learning to control the tongue. You know, Proverbs chapter 12 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Solomon has a lot to say about the tongue. Why? Because we have a lot of problems with our tongue. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So God wants us to mature even in our speech. And it's always easy to spot a mature Christian because they don't say the wrong thing. They don't cut people down with their tongue. They don't blurt out too much. They just listen a lot. They're very careful about what they say. So God wants us to mature in our unity. He wants us to mature in our knowledge of His Word. Think about these areas in your own Christian life. He wants us to be more like Jesus in our walk. He wants us to be speaking like a mature Christian. But also verse 15 of our passage, it says in love. God wants us to mature in our love for one another. And as we all know from our series at camp, Love is Action. So how we treat one another is evidence of how much we love one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. John 13:35. Go to 1 John chapter 4 where John explains that one of the things God wants to perfect in your life is how you love one another. And that's not talking about what you feel. It's talking about what you do. You know, the Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. But notice here in 1 John 4:11, John says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Did you know that God is going to continue to perfect your love? You know how he's going to do that? He's going to keep bringing people into your life that you have to learn to love with God's love. He might even bring people into your life that are hard for you to love, so that he might perfect his love in you. Because he is trying to mature you in your faith. So that next time that person comes into your life, don't stop and say, oh Lord, why did you bring this person into my life? My life was so good and so smooth. Just go to the Word and God's going to say, you need that person in your life. Because I want you to learn like I love. If God loved us based on our behavior, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Do we fail him? All the time. Does he keep loving us? Yes. Does he keep being kind and good to us? Yes. And we keep failing him. But we don't want to treat others like that, do we? The first time they make a mistake, that's it. We cut them off. So God wants us to learn to love like he loved, and that's a huge challenge. To mature in our love for one another. And then lastly, in verse 16 of our passage, so not only unity and knowledge and walking like Jesus and our tongue and our love, but lastly, he talks about edification. Now, this is big. This is big. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now notice he says edifying of itself. This is talking about the body edifying itself. Well, how does it do that? Well, when God's people edify each other, that's exactly what's happening. The body is edifying itself. And that is one of the major evidences of spiritual maturity. A Christian who spends more time edifying others than he does making it difficult for others. Go, if you would, to Romans 15. Paul talked about this to the Roman church as well. And he said, one of the evidences that you have grown up in your faith has to do with this ability to be a blessing to God's children. Notice Romans 15, verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. And look at this last phrase. Able also to admonish one another. Able to do it. That means there's some Christians that aren't able to do it yet because they're not mature yet in their faith. God wants us to get to the point where we're able to admonish one another. And so he gave us the church. He gave us the idea of church. Yes, for the Word of God, but also to give us an opportunity to admonish and edify and encourage one another. And that is God's plan. Look up in verse of our same passage here in Ephesians 4. Look at earlier verses that I didn't read. Verse 11, he gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So he says God gave people to serve in the church, but then he tells us why in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God gave us teachers and God gave us pastors and God gave us evangelists, and we could go on and on. God gave us God's people and God's leaders so that saints, number one, could be perfected, obviously through His Word, which is what we're talking about today. Number two, that saints could work for Jesus, that they can put their gifts and their talents to use for Christ and serve the Lord and have a place to serve the Lord in the local church. But then number three, for the edifying, so that Christians can mature to the point that they are edifying one another. That word edify means to encourage, it means to lift up, it means to help. Paul, over in 1 Corinthians 14, if you want to turn there, again, the Corinthians, we'd keep going back to them, but they were Paul's problem child, what can you say? And he had to write a whole chapter about tongues and prophecy because they were so confused on these matters. And in the midst of all that, he says here in verse 26, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, every one of you hath a doctrine, every one of you hath a tongue, every one of you hath a revelation, every one of you hath an interpretation." In other words, you're coming together and everybody is trying to show off what they have. It's all about me, 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 just like today's church around the world. It's all about, oh, me. Oh, I want to be happy. I want to feel good. Oh, I want to enjoy the worship. It's not about God anymore. He says, you're all coming together and every one of you has your own doctrine, your own psalm, and your own revelation, your own interpretation. Look what he says at the end. Let all things be done unto edifying. Stop worrying about coming to church to bring your little thing and start thinking more about how can I be a blessing to others? How can I edify others? This is one of the signs of spiritual maturity, that when you come together as an assembly, it's not what can I get or what can I show off. It's how can I help others? Your focus changes and it becomes about others, which, by the way, that's being like Jesus, isn't it? It's about others. And if you go to Hebrews 10 and verse 25, Paul said that's one of the reasons why we assemble, is for edification. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Look at verse 25 of Hebrews 10. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another. So Paul's desire, God's desire, is that we grow up in our faith. And I'm sure that the Holy Spirit has pointed out at least one area in each of our lives where we have some maturing to do. It might be in our unity. It might be in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowledge of His Word, of His doctrine. It might be in our walk. Is our walk like Jesus? It might be in our tongue, that we haven't got that under control yet. It might be in our love for one another, or it might, lastly, be, are we a Christian that focuses on edification? Paul said, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And if our focus when we come to church is we're on the lookout for brothers and sisters that need a blessing, that need encouragement, that need comfort, that need help, we're maturing in our faith. If our focus is, I can't wait to get to church to see what I can get rather than what I can give, then we got some growing to do. So Paul's desire, God's desire, is that we grow up, that we keep growing. And by the way, we're never there. "Wherefore, if any man think that he standeth, or if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet that he ought to know." We aren't ever there. We've never grown to the point where we don't need to grow anymore. But keep growing. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow." Just keep growing. Keep growing, keep growing. Grow up. Don't be like those Corinthian Christians Can you imagine a church full of baby Christians? The entire church is a bunch of babies? I mean, we're thankful that there was a church like that because then Paul wrote an epistle to them and we learned so much from it, but I wouldn't have wanted to be in a church full of babies. I mean, think about going into a creche, a baby creche. They're all under two and there's 100 of them. And it's your job to watch all 100 of them by yourself. Wouldn't that be fun? That's what Paul had to do. It's no wonder he had to rebuke them so sharply. Grow up. That's what God wants for all of us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.